I don't know about you, but for me, the older I get, the more respect I have for my time. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I acted as if time was endless. Old age was something that happened to other people. And hey, when I get to 60 or 70 or 80, they'll have cured old age anyway. They'll give you a pill that will give you an extra 30 years of life. But when I turned 40, which horrifyingly is now 6 years ago, I was suddenly acutely aware of my mortality. I was like, oh, I don't like where this is going. And since then, I've been so much more respectful of how I use my time. And if there are things that waste my time, then I'm a lot less tolerant of them. I look to cut them out as much as I possibly can. So in this episode of the Stress Less Living podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the five biggest time wasters that you need to cut out of your life. At the end of the day, life is not a trial run, and how we choose to spend our time is one of the most important considerations that we can ever make. Hey there, and welcome to the Stress Less Living podcast. My name is Stephen Burns, and I've been a practicing coach, trainer, and hypnotherapist for 25 years. Each week, I'll share easily digestible, bite-sized ideas that you can immediately put into practice so that you can live a more harmonious and balanced life. On this podcast, you can expect mindset advice, strategies for dealing with big modern-day problems like stress, overwhelm, burnout, perfectionism, and procrastination, and also insights into tools like meditation and mindfulness. So if you're looking for the perfect antidote for the chaos of modern life, my friend, you are absolutely in the right place. So let's get started. What are these five big time wasters? Well, this is not an extensive list. You may want to add your own things to it. But these are five that I've found have come up frequently with clients and colleagues. So time waster number one, not knowing what your values are. So just in case you don't know, a value is an aspect of life that is important to you. And we often allocate keywords to these values. So things like growth, satisfaction, safety, security, connection, belonging, making a difference, significance, the list goes on and on. And what we tend to do as human beings is we arrange most important values into a league table, into a hierarchy. So these are like areas of life that we decided are more important than other areas. And we arrange them into, like I said, this league table. So for me, my top five values are as follows. So number one is growth. Number two is freedom. Number three is connection. Number four is to make a difference. And number five is fun. So the reason why this is important when it comes to time is because in general, when we live life in alignment with our most important values, that's when we are at our happiest and it feels like we are making the very best use out of our time. So if I'm living a life that is not in alignment with growth, freedom, connection, to make a difference and fun, then it's going to make me really unhappy. It's going to feel like I'm completely wasting my time. And this, by the way, is why people can be really unhappy in a job, because it doesn't align with their most important values. So it feels like they're being forced to do something that deep down they just don't want to do. So you want to have a think. If you're looking to figure out your own important values, the key question you want to ask is, what are the things that are most important to you in life? And you want to ask that question a few times. Usually when you ask it once, you get the social answers. But if you ask it several times and you deeply reflect on it, you're going to start to get some of these keywords. So if you want an example of these keywords, or if you want a list of them, then I've included a link to a list of values in the show notes if you want to check that out. And then from there, you want to have a think, okay, so what are my most important ones? So if I was to come up with three or five of my most important values, what would those be? If you were to arrange them into a hierarchy, a league table, what would that league table look like? And then from there, you want to ask yourself, okay, so how can I then organise my time around those things? Now, of course, there's going to be a bit of leeway. There's going to be a bit of give and take. You can't always do everything that you want. Life, of course, does require compromises. It does require trade-offs. But you want to be spending most of your time in alignment with your most important values. So how can you go about doing that? So you're a busy person. you have a demanding job or a hectic lifestyle, and you've heard that meditation is a great way to reduce stress and create calm within the chaos that is your life. But you've tried meditation a few times, maybe with an app or from a book or a YouTube video, and it's just not really worked for you. And you've maybe jumped to the conclusion that meditation isn't for you. Well, if that's the case, I just want to say that it's most likely not your fault. A lot of the time when meditation doesn't really work that well, it's because you're missing a couple of key steps. And if you want to learn what those key steps are and some of the fundamentals of meditation, then I have a free video training that you can enroll on. If you want to check that out, I've included a link to it in the show notes and all the information that you need. So that is time waster number one. Time waster number two is being in a relationship that makes you unhappy. And this one is a biggie. So for me, I was in a long-term relationship in my early 20s up to my early 30s. And the weird thing was, at the time, I knew I wasn't fulfilled. In fact, I knew the relationship wasn't really for me after about year two, but I stuck around anyway just to see if it would change. And guess what? It didn't change at all. In fact, it got worse. And that's time that I can't ever get back. So nowadays, I'm very mindful about not making that mistake again in the future. And the thing is, I'm not just talking about romantic relationships here. I'm talking about friends and work relationships too. Maybe you belong to a circle of friends that don't support you, or even worse, bring you down to make them feel good. That's pretty common, if we're being honest. So I think it's very important to examine and look at the relationships and then choose wisely the people that we spend time with. And if there's a relationship that's not working for you, there's three options you want to take. So option number one is what I call the pep talk. So this is where you call it out. So you let them know that you're not happy with the way this relationship is set up or the way that you're being treated in the relationship. And if that works, fantastic. If not, you can then progress to option number two. And this is where you limit the relationship. So say, for example, you have a circle of friends and you feel like it's maybe not the best group to be hanging about with all the time, but you still value some of the people in it and you do, on the whole, value that relationship. Then maybe you want to just limit the amount of time that you spend with them. You know, you don't have to cut them out completely. That's very much a last resort. But you maybe just want to restrict the amount of time that you spend in that relationship. So that's option number two. And if that doesn't work, you can then go to the extreme version. That's option number three. And that is where you cut them off. Now, I'm not usually an advocate for, you know, cutting off from personal or work or family relationships, but sometimes it needs to be done. If you are in a toxic relationship and it's showing absolutely no signs of changing and deep down you know it's not going to change, you've got to cut it off. And I know that does sound extreme, but sometimes we just have to do that. And I think just appreciating that there are so many people on the planet and you're not going to be a good fit for all of them, and all of them are certainly not going to be a good fit for you. And that is perfectly okay. I think that's a really powerful realization to make. So I think sometimes it's just best to admit that you've got to go your separate ways and it's time to cut things off. So that's time waster number two. Time waster number three, trying to multitask. So this is something I am really, really big on, and that is you want to avoid attempting to multitask as much as you possibly can. So many people try to multitask, and this is where you attempt to spin lots of plates at the one time, you take on far too much, you fragment your attention across several different tasks. So maybe you're sending a message at the same time as answering an email, or you're surfing the internet while you're having dinner with a friend, or maybe you're doing something else. You're maybe juggling three or four projects at the one time and it's starting to overwhelm you. Well, the thing is, research has shown that multitasking isn't just not effective, it's actually not something that we can even do, or at least do effectively. That when you get down to it, you can only ever focus on a single thing properly at the one time. So when we attempt to multitask, what you end up doing is you just end up doing lots of single things really badly. So instead of multitasking or attempting to multitask, you want to single task instead. So this is where you give something your full undivided attention. You fully immerse yourself in the activity that you're doing. And then when you finish, you move on to the next thing and give that your full undivided attention. Hey, it's kind of like the advice that your granny used to give you. You can only focus on one thing at a time. I don't know if your granny gave you that advice. I think mine did, but maybe I'm misremembering. Let's not go there. So that's time waster number three. Time waster number four is trying to plan everything out and then attempting to make the world conform to your detailed plans. So this one is for you control freaks out there. And I'll be honest, I'll hold my hand up for this one. I'm a recovering control freak. It is still something I have to keep on top of. So there's a famous quote from Eisenhower, and he said that plans are worthless, but planning is everything. And I love this quote because the thing is, it is good to plan, isn't it? You want to be prepared so that you can do your very best to influence your environment. But when we spend ages, large volumes of time planning out every single detail of a project or our day or our week, and attempt to force the world to conform to these plans, it starts to become counterproductive and a big, colossal waste of time. Because here's the thing, life is unpredictable. We like to think as human beings we can entirely control our environment, but we just can't. And actually, one of the most useful skills that we can develop is the ability to adapt, to improvise, to change what we do based on what's happening in our environment. To give you an example of this, so when I first started doing public speaking, so we're going back quite a few years here, I was very nervous in front of an audience. In fact, I was recovering from fairly intense public speaking phobia. And my way around this fear was to prepare every single word of the presentation beforehand. And then I would practice it over and over again until my voice hurt. And this, as I'm sure you can appreciate, took an enormous amount of time. Also, when I stood up to speak and give these presentations, it was pretty flawless, but it was also super rigid. There was just no creativity, and I wasn't adjusting based on the feedback of the audience. If they were giving me feedback that I should go in a different direction, I would just ignore it and stick to my script. So it was kind of like a monologue rather than a dialogue, which is not good if you do presentations, especially if you're doing workshops. But then I decided to do an acting class. And in the class, we did something called devising. So devising is basically pure improvisation. So you're given very loose ideas, no scripts, and you're asked to come up with a scene. So maybe they hand you a tube of toothpaste, an umbrella, and maybe a jacket. And as a group, you've got a couple of minutes to come up with a scene, and then you have to present it back very quickly. So when I was first asked to do this, I was utterly terrified. I was like, I don't have a script. I need at least 2 days to go away with my fellow actors and come up with a script and some characters and all of that stuff. I need time to go away and prepare. But the teacher took me aside and said, no, Steve, that you've missed the whole point of devising. You've missed the whole point of improvisation. You've got to just put yourself into the situation with some loose guidelines and then just create and see where it goes. So I went with it, and after the initial terror, I started to relax. And then I still remember the moment. It was like all of a sudden I realised I was becoming so much more comfortable not knowing where something was going, but just going with it anyway. And it was a beautiful place. It was a really nice feeling of relaxation and comfort of knowing that I didn't have to plan out every single detail. And the thing is, some of the scenes and snippets that we created in that class, they were amazing. They were far more innovative than anything that I could create if I sat back and planned out every single detail. Because that's kind of how creativity works, isn't it? It's where we do throw ourselves into something and then just go with it, just run with it and see where it takes you. So now when I do presentations, face-to-face ones, I do still plan, I do still have a list of things I want to talk about, but I always leave scope for improvisation based on what happens in the moment. And my presentations are way better, even if I do say so myself, than what they were way back when I scripted everything out. But on the whole, though, I think it's important to remember that we can't predict everything in life, so it's a big waste of time to try to do so. Life is organic, and we need to adapt and adjust in the moment. As the famous philosopher Mike Tyson used to say, plans are great until you get punched in the face. So that's time waster number four, and the fifth and final time waster, and this one is a big one, and that is saying yes to everyone. So this one is for you people pleasers out there. And look, I get it. Some people don't really care about what other people think, but I think most people at some level want to be accepted. They want to be liked, even if it's a deep need that they maybe don't want to consciously acknowledge. And sometimes this can go into overdrive, into what is often referred to as people-pleasing. So if you're the kind of person who is saying yes all the time when deep down you know that you should be saying no, then a lot of the time you're doing it because you want to be liked or you don't want to let someone down, which is kind of the same thing as wanting to be liked. But you have to remember that any time you say yes to something, you are actually indirectly saying no to something else. Because you don't have an infinite amount of time and energy, do you? So if you're saying yes to things just because you don't want to offend people, then you're also saying no to spending time on the things that really matter. So saying no is a crucial part of setting healthy boundaries, isn't it? It's important to let people know what to expect. And look, you don't have to justify either with a big, long, lengthy explanation. You simply just have to say, thanks for asking, I really appreciate that, but unfortunately, I've got other things on at the moment. And people will respect that. And if they don't, then hey, maybe that's not a healthy relationship and it's time to reevaluate that. So there we have it, five big time wasters you need to cut out of your life. Let's do a quick review. Number one, not knowing your values. Number two, being in a relationship that doesn't make you happy. Number three, trying to multitask when you should be single tasking. Number four, trying to plan everything out and then attempting to make the world conform to your detailed plans. And number five, saying yes to everything. And as a closing comment, I just want to reiterate how you spend your time is the most important choice that you can ever make. There was a study done in the 1980s by Angus Campbell, and it was on happiness. And they wanted to figure out what were the most important factors when it comes to living a happy life. And they found that lots of things came up. Most people had their own definitions of what happiness meant to them. But one theme kept on popping up. They found that the people who were the happiest were those who felt that they were most in control of their time. So please choose wisely. I mean, at the end of the day, we only get one life, so to spend it on things that don't matter is a huge waste of time and a colossal tragedy. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and look back and feel regret. So I'd recommend, if you find these relevant to you, cut these time wasters out of your life, but mostly be more prudent over how you spend your time. So thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could leave a review and follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. It really does help. So thanks again, and we'll speak soon in the next episode.